I wish that we had time this morning to share our favorite memory of our mama. But I think if we were to share the favorite memory of our mothers, we'd be here all day and then some. Mamas are very special people. As Charlotte alluded to in her children's message, my mama was my greatest cheerleader. In my mama's eyes, I could do no wrong. My mama was a great liar because I did a lot of wrong. But she was still my greatest cheerleader. Well, as we get ready to bring God's message this morning, we're going to speak about life. We're going to speak about Mama Bear. But a young man went to the doctor, and he received a diagnosis. The doctor said, "I'm sorry, you've only got 6 months to live." He went and he was sitting at work talking with his friend, and he said, the doctor said, "I've only got 6 months to live." And his friend said, "What are you going to do?" And he said, "I think I'm going to go live with my mother-in-law." "Your mother-in-law? What are you going to live with your mother-in-law for?" Because he said, "It'd be the longest 6 months of my life." God. Sammy, I thought you'd like that one. I love to hear Sammy laugh and get her giggling. But oh, God is good. Amen. We've come and we're gathered here today to honor, as I said, the greatest gift that God ever gave to mankind, the gift of a mama, the gift of a mother. And of all the treasures that God has bestowed upon mankind, none is greater than God created man's counterpart, woman. The Bible teaches that in the beginning, God created them male and female. That's it. Two sexes, each made perfectly for the other. And only one of those was fashioned by God's own hand to be a vessel equipped to be a mother. I know this world out there today wants you to believe that a man can have a baby. He cannot. I know this world out there wants you to believe that God created all different kinds of sexes in alphabet soup. He did not. God created them male and female, and only one of them was created to be a vessel that we can call mother, the highest honor. Oh, Eve was the mother of all living. And so, God equipped her to be a mama bear. And I'm going to talk to you this morning about mama bears, because we need mama bears in this world in which we're living today. I think that our world has done women a great disservice. I think they ought to be held in the highest honor. They are the most cherished vessel. They are a man's helpmate. They rub off all of our rough edges. They soften us. They straighten us up. They make us fly right. A man left to himself without a good wife, or he's headed for trouble. Oh, thank God for a good mama. Thank God for a good wife. Amen. Well, I want you to be finding in your Bibles this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 1 to 5 because God is going to teach us the great importance for mother, especially in this world today, of being, as I said, a mama bear. And man, everything that God is going to be speaking to us about today applies to us as well. And so, please rise as we honor God with the reading of His Word from 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verses 1 to 5. And while you're getting up to your feet, I do want you to know that Jimmy Skeen told me this morning he gave me a 2-hour battery. So we're going to go. Amen. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day and night, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Oh, how good it is to hear the word of God. Amen. Would you bow with me in prayer, Almighty God, as we bow here this morning? Lord, would you prepare our heart? Would you speak to each and every one of us in this evil day in which we're living? Lord, would you remind us of what we are to be as moms and as dads, but especially moms and dads. Oh Lord, how we need to be teaching a biblical worldview. How we need to be reminding our children that when all is said and done, we are going to stand before God Almighty. We will give an account in that day. And oh Lord, may we be able to give a good account, because our mamas and our daddies have sown in us the very word of God Himself. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, and you all may be seated. Abraham Lincoln said, "Nobody is poor who had a godly mother," and that's true. But what about those who did not have a godly mother? And what about those who claim to be godly, but they are not? There is a key word here in our text that comes to us, that Paul remembers, that Paul mentions. And this is so key in the day in which we're living, because he calls it unfeigned faith. And I want you to note, he says that unfeigned faith first dwelt in Timothy's grandmother. And then that unfeigned faith dwelt in his mama. And then that unfeigned faith dwelt in Timothy himself. And if we follow the progression here, we can see that Timothy's grandmother was a teacher of God's word. She was a teacher of biblical values. She was concerned that her little girl Eunice knew the word of God and had the word of God hidden in her heart, that she would stand up for the word of God, that when she became a mama one day, she would teach the word of God. Oh, hallelujah, we need to be teaching the word of God. And if you follow the progression, she taught her daughter, who in turn taught her son. And Timothy became a great man of God, a great preacher. She passed down what I believe has long been missing in America. She passed down the importance of standing on the Bible. She passed down the importance of having the Word of God daily in your heart, of reading the Word of God. She passed down the truth that man cannot live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's how we live in this world. And oh, she understood the most important role of a mom and a dad is to be a teacher of righteousness. Just what are you teaching your children, Mama Bear? Are you teaching your cubs how to live in this world? Are you teaching them how to avoid the pitfalls of danger as a mother bear would her little cub? Timothy's grandmother and his mother taught him the importance of having an unfeigned faith. God is saying to us, He is telling us, their faith wasn't some
counterfeit deal like we see so often in our world today, where we say, oh, how I love Jesus on Sunday, and we live like the world the rest of the week. And then we come back into church and we claim we love Jesus, but we live just like the world, just as if Jesus never came, just as if Jesus never died. And I will say to you, Jesus did not die on Calvary's cross for us to go on sinning. He died to save us from sin. And they taught this. Their faith wasn't counterfeit. Their faith was not hypocritical. It was real. It was genuine. It was sincere. The question has to come to us first. We've got to look in the mirror. We've got to ask ourselves, as we look in the mirror, God, I believe, stares back at us, because we can never fool the one who's staring back at us from the glass. And we've got to ask ourselves, God, is my faith real? Is my faith genuine? Mama Bear, is your faith real? Is your faith genuine? Is your faith sincere? Have you instilled the recipe of salvation in your child? You see, our world is no different than the world of Noah's day. The idea of God and God's truth taught in His Word are being ignored. They're being marginalized. But there's no doubt that Noah had a mama who had taught him the importance that there is someone greater. There is someone who created you. Listen, Noah didn't find grace in the eyes of God because he had a worldview. He found grace in the eyes of God because his mama taught him about Adam and Eve. His mama taught him a biblical worldview. And what's needed in this world today is a biblical worldview, because America has lost its biblical worldview. Listen to me. When God did exactly as He promised Israel, He said, I'm going to take you out of Egypt, which is the world, that I might bring you into the promised land, and I'm going to defeat your enemies. And listen, when they went into the promised land, they had to go in there and they had to fight to conquer it, but they fought in the might of the Lord their God. But then something happened. And there was a day and an age when we stood for God, when God's Word was taught in our schools, when God's Word was spoken at our conventions, when God's Word was honored in Washington, D.C., when it was honored in the presidency, when it was honored in the Congress, when it was honored in the Senate. Listen, there was a day in America not too long gone when God was the focus of America. Well, I want to tell you something, even Israel, after God had brought them out, even Israel, Judges 2:10 will tell you this, there arose a generation that did not know the Lord. And I will tell you, in America today, we have maybe one, maybe two, maybe three generations that do not know God nor the works of God, because in 1962, America took prayer out of schools. And now look at the morass that we face in this world today. But the Bible says that Noah's mama taught him. And the Bible says God came looking. And when God looked from heaven on high, He was looking for someone who had a heart like His. And out of all the people in the world at Noah's day, only one man found grace. And the Bible says, Genesis 6:8, Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And oh, Mama, Mama Bear, how's your child going to find grace if you've not taught them the recipe of salvation? And do you yourself know the recipe of salvation? I can remember as a young child, my Mama Bear taught me about the blood of Jesus. She would say, Don, the blood of Jesus can wash away sin. And I can remember that from the time I was about knee-high to a grasshopper. Oh, I remember hearing about the blood of Jesus. She was always in the Word of God. I found my mama every morning sitting there by the table with a Bible open, reading the the Word of God. She was hungry for the Word of God. My mama bear taught me the truth. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. She taught me the importance of having the Word of God planted right on here, right down here in my heart. And the Bible says, "Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." The Word is in my heart. And oh, she taught me that importance. And my mama bear prayed for me for the day. And this would be her prayer. She put me to bed because I was little then. She knew I didn't have enough sense to go to bed. And she gave me a bedtime. She made me even take a bath. Can you believe that? I've been playing in mud puddles all day, playing with my little race cars in the dirt, building my track. And she'd say, "You get up and take a bath, you filthy. Now it's time for bed." I thought, what fun is this? But anyway, she put me in my bed, and then she kneeled down beside the bed, and she prayed, "Oh Lord, the Bible says, unless the Father draws them, they can't come." And she prayed, "Oh, Father God, would you draw my little boy unto yourself?" She planted the Word in my heart. She planted the idea that I needed to be looking for God in my mind. And she taught me how to know the revelation of the warmth of God's love. Now, I know the rest of you is perfect, but you need to know something about your pastor. I'm not perfect. And boy, when I was a little boy, I was far from perfect. I mean, one time when I was young, my mama told me to do something, and I didn't do it right away. And so she raised her voice a little. And do you know what I said? "Hang on to your seat, Liza." I looked at my mama. I said, "Well, you just take her easy there, big girl." Woo-wee! Did I straighten up quick? Oh, she taught me the revelation and the warmth of God's love. She taught me that God is going to discipline me, and if need be, he's going to use my mama to do it, and she laid down the law. But you know what happened after that? When I was doing right, she'd wrap her arms around me. And she loved me. And she said, "I love you. I love you. And someday you're going to be something." Well, I don't know if I've ever been something. Some of you might go, "Whew, he sure is something." But she taught me the warmth of God's love. She taught me about the light of conviction of the Holy Spirit. You see, she told me I'd done wrong. You believe that? But she said, "You done wrong." And you all know what that's like. You see, God has put something inside of us called a conscience. And we know when we've done wrong. Because we feel the guilt and we feel the shame. And friends, that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit that has come upon us, that we might confess our sin and receive the love of God. Mama Bear taught me about the witness of creation. You see, there was no Big Bang theory. We're not evolving. We didn't evolve from anything. God thought of you before the foundation of the world. God looked through the eons of time, because the Bible says that God wrote the end from the beginning. And he looked through the eons of time, and he saw the day, he saw the womb, and he wrote of you in his book, before you were formed in the womb, God created you. He equipped you. All the gifts and the talents that you have, God gave them to you when he created you. That's how special you are to God. Oh, I get so sick in this day of hearing about how we evolved from apes and how, oh, up there in the sky one day there was just this big bang and poof, here we are. Oh, give me a break. I want the Word of God because I need the truth. And God is a God of incredible creation. And how sad that that's not being taught in our government schools. My mama taught me the importance of daily prayer. Well, Mama Bear, have you taught your cubs the recipe of salvation? Do your cubs know God is not willing for any to perish? Evidently, Abraham's Mama Bear had taught him the recipe of salvation, and you guys can put that recipe on the screen now if you would. Because God could say of Abraham, "For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." And he became a blessing. Matter of fact, the Bible says this, that those who bless Abraham, God will bless. And those who curse Abraham, God will curse. Do you know what is happening in America? Now you need to pray for President Biden because no one is beyond redemption. But if he refuses to stand with Israel, he has asked for God to curse America. We need to bless Israel. We need to stand with Israel. We need to pray for Israel. Mama Bear, are you teaching your cubs the importance of the Word of God that they might hear the voice of God when He speaks? Now, we all need to understand something. You cannot teach what you do not do. Of all the people in the world that can know a hypocrite just like that, it's children. And your children watch everything we do. They follow us. And it's sort of like the Bible says, as imitators, as little children, let us be imitators of God. How many of your children when they were young, or how many of you when you were young, used to dress up like mama or your daddy? Oh, friend. Abraham listened to God. And when God told him to get thee up and get thee out of this country, this worldly country, he got himself up and he got himself out. Mama Bear, are you listening for the voice of God in your own life that you might share the voice of God with your child? And then there's Moses in the Bible. And I just love to talk about the Bible because Moses, and the Bible teaches his mother Bear, taught him about having a biblical worldview and the importance of holding to the Bible. And God says of Moses in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They paid no attention to that nonsense in the government is what he's saying. And by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And by faith, he forsook Egypt. And Egypt for us is the world. I think about things today. You know, one advantage of getting older is you can look back at things and you can see some of the foolish things that you did. But you know, I think about today how for many, this is the most important thing on a Sunday morning. There is no thought of God. There's just the tailgate party we need to get to. The idol, their God, is their favorite football team. They live and die by a football team. And then there's people. Their own pleasure. More important, George, if I hit you, I'm going to say I'm sorry right now before I do. Oh, don't have a backhand anymore. But this is what they wake up to do. Baseball. I got no time for that. Baseball. Do you realize we've got parents who say they're Christian, who will put their children in travel leagues, baseball leagues, on Sunday morning because they esteem that to be better for them, to being in the house of the living God? And I know I've got parents mad at me right now, and you know what? I don't care, because God must come first. And when this, or soccer, these things become more important than doing what God has called us to do, and God has said, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves as the manner of some is. When this stuff is more important, when this stuff becomes more important than God, when we fail to obey what God has said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. When we put these things first, we cannot turn around and say, oh, God is first, because He is not. And then we got these things. Whew. Now, parents, buckle up. This is going to astound you. It astounded me. Now, Pastor B is very technical. In other words, he knows about this stuff. This Pastor Don does not. But Pastor B had his children, his students, check their screen time. I guess in here somewhere you can figure out how much time you spend on here. I never knew that existed. Do you realize your children are spending anywhere? The highest number was 14 hours a day. A day on this. 14, your grandchildren, 14 hours a day on this. You know what they're looking at? I ain't got a clue. But I'll guarantee you one thing. It's probably not God's book, it's Facebook. Isn't it sad that a lot of people live their life by Facebook, Brother Trey, or basketball leagues? Okay. And then there's your pastor's favorite sport. Oh, how I love to hit a golf ball. And I love to watch golf. You ask my wife. That's why they got DVR for pastors, because you preach and then you got to go home and catch up. There was a man. There's a golf tournament down in Augusta, Georgia. My favorite tournament of the year. Brother Marty is dressed in the Masters colors this morning. I asked him who gave him his green jacket. I thought he'd won the Masters. But then I've played golf with Brother Marty before, and I know that there would be no hope of Marty winning the Masters. Scottie Scheffler is a Christian. And this is what he says. As they were awarding him his green jacket, as some last year's champion, John Rahm, took the green jacket to put it back on Scottie Scheffler. Scottie Scheffler said, I have dedicated my game to God. Reflecting on his desire to win, he said, I wanted to win as badly as anybody else. But he said, my victory's already been secured
on the cross. It wouldn't have mattered if I would have won or lost this tournament today. My victory is in Jesus.
We hear much about legacy today. If you watch any sports show, they're always talking about, well, what about his legacy? What about his legacy? What about his legacy?
Scottie Scheffler said, my legacy is secured eternally in Jesus Christ. His mama Bear taught him the importance of having a biblical worldview. Long before the toys of this world, long before the games of this world, Scottie Scheffler is knowing that God must come first. And one of the things you need to know about Scottie Scheffler, yes, he plays golf on Sundays. Yes, he's a professional golfer. But Scottie Scheffler holds Bible studies for the caddies and any other pro that wants to come before they play on Sunday morning. He knows to put God first. You know, in this world today, we need to think about our children. What about our children? Wasn't that a wonderful message we heard as a children's message this morning? Thomas Edison's mama thought about her children. When she received that note, she thought, what about the children? And you know, here at Green Valley, we think, what about the children? And I'm so glad we have a school. I'm so glad we have chapel. And our children this week learned that God can slay the giants in their life, because there was a giant in David's day. And David didn't go out and slay Goliath unless he had a history that he knew he'd win. Listen, you don't face your biggest fear in life without knowing there is a God behind you. Saul, the world, that's who Saul represented. He said, you can't do it, you can't do it, you can't do it. And David said, listen here. I was a shepherd of my father's sheep. And a lion came and grabbed one of them lambs. And I went after that lion, and I took that lamb out of his mouth, and I grabbed that old lion by his beard, and I slew that giant of a lion. And then a bear came and grabbed one of those lambs, and he said, I went after that bear, and I took that lamb from that bear. And can you just imagine the battle? Oh, man, that bear just a swing on the right and a left with his paws. And David said, I slew that bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine is no match for the living God, because David had a biblical worldview. He knew that his God was greater than anything else. Hallelujah. Oh, and our children learned to slay the giant of fear. You see, 2 weeks prior, one of their classmates got hurt, had to go to the hospital. And the children were crying, and they were scared. And we sat down, and we prayed, and we wrote down all the things that God could do. And then the phone call came saying, she's going to be all right. And I told them right then and there, when you call upon the name of a mighty God, he hears and he answers prayer, because he is God. Do you know him as God this morning? Do you have a biblical worldview? One day, we're all going to find ourselves here. You see, our lives are but a vessel. That's all we are. All of us are going to have many experiences in life, but we're just but a vessel. And then one day, Mama Bear, one day, maybe you'll go first. Maybe you won't. Death is no respecter of persons. Not a single one of us knows when our time will be end. But one day Almighty God is going to come. And one day he's going to look. And when God looks, when God sees the vessel of life that was there, will we have given him the toys of the world? Or will God find a life that was built
one day at a time, one step at a time, one breath at a time, on the Word of God. When all is said and done, will God find the Word of God lived inside of you? This is serious business, isn't it? Life is serious. It's not like the games our children play. You get one life to live. And when you're gone, you're gone. When you step off into eternity, you're either stepping up or stepping down. Life isn't like the video games, is it, Brother Hunter? You don't get extra lives, do you? Life's not like a cat. We don't get nine. We get one. One life. And you listen to me right now. If you're teaching your children the recipe of salvation, hallelujah. But how many of you I won't ask you to uplift your hands, but how many of you have had a child kind of veer off the path despite your teaching? You remember this. It ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. There is a God in heaven and He hears our prayers. There is a God in heaven who's still working on them. There is a God in heaven who's going to bring the victory because He knows nothing else but victory. There is a God in heaven. And though your children may get away from you for a little bit, you remember this, they'll never get away from your prayers. They'll never get away from your prayers. The greatest gift we have is our prayer. The greatest gift that God has given to us is to be able to come and to call upon the mighty God. And He is mighty. And oh, Mama Bear, don't ever forget you have a mighty God who equips you, desires to equip you, desires to give you all that you need that you might be the godly vessel that He has called you to be. You just do this. You teach your children a biblical worldview. Because one day they're going to have to stand on their own two feet. Sad of a mother bear, she keeps her cub for about a year and then she sends them off. One day your children are going to go off. One day they're going to have to stand against the giants of this world. Will you have equipped them with the Word of God? Will you have equipped them with the Word of victory? That when God looks, He sees a life that was built one day at a time, one step at a time, on the Word of God. Because that's how you're living your life. Father, we just thank You for Your Word to us today. Oh God, we are just so thankful for this gift that You have created called Mom. And I pray that each and every one of us would pray for our mamas, that we would praise our mamas, that we would give thanks for our mamas, whether our mama has left this world, we can still give thanks. And as we give thanks, we are praising You for our mamas. And if our mamas are living, oh Lord, may we give them all the love they deserve. May we thank You for them. Lord, thank You for the special treasure that we call a mama bear. And oh God, this morning, we might have children and they're wandering from the fold. But oh Lord, You've thrown us a lifeline called prayer. And we can come and we can pray for our children and our grandchildren. And we can call upon the name of the mighty God. And the mighty God will hear our prayers. And God can bring a course correction that we cannot bring. Oh, may we call upon God for a course correction in the lives of wayward children.
May we hang to the promise and we train a child up in the way he should go. When he grows old, he shall not depart. And oh God, that's your promise to us, that one day you're going to bring your children back. Oh Lord, I just pray for us today. Perhaps there's someone here who's never received Jesus as their Savior. Perhaps there's someone that needs to join the church. Someone that needs to be baptized. Someone that just needs to come and pray. Lord, as Brother Marty comes to lead us in our invitational hymn, may we reflect for just a moment. May your Spirit have His will and His way in our hearts this day. And then may we come and make our request known unto our mighty God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.